Good morning. Let's open our Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 7 through 18. Even the ministry that was characterized by chiseled letters on stone tablets came with a dazzling measure of glory. Though it produced death, the Israelites couldn't bear to gaze on the glowing face of Moses because of the radiant splendor shining from his countenance, a glory destined to fade away. Yet how much more radiant is this new and glorious ministry of the Spirit that shines from us. For if the former ministry of condemnation was ushered in with a measure of glory, how much more does the ministry that imparts righteousness for far excel in glory? What once was glorious no longer holds any glory because of the increasingly greater glory that has replaced it. The fading ministry came with a portion of glory, but now we embrace the unfading ministry of a permanent impartation of glory. So then, with this amazing hope living in us, we step out in freedom and boldness to speak the truth. We are not like Moses, who used a veil to hide the glory to keep the Israelites from staring at him as it faded away. Their minds were closed and hardened. For even to this day, that same veil comes over their minds when they hear the words of the former covenant. The veil has not yet been lifted from them, for it only eliminated when one is joined to the Messiah. So until now, whenever the Old Testament is being read, the same blinding comes over their hearts. But the moment one turns to the Lord with an open heart, the veil is lifted and they see. Now the Lord I'm referring to is the Holy Spirit, and wherever he is the Lord, there is freedom. We can all draw close to him with a veil removed from our faces. And with no veil, we all become like mirrors who brightly reflect the glory of the Lord Jesus. We are all being transfigured into his very image as we move from one brighter level of glory to another. And this glorious transfiguration comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. Let's pray. Father God, we just thank you so much that we are able to come into your presence, Lord, that we can have a relationship with you. Holy Spirit, we just ask that you will just fill our hearts today, fill our hearts this morning, God, showing us what it is you want to teach us, teaching us what you want us to learn about you, God, and that we can really just encounter you, encounter your Spirit, Lord, and that we can become more like you. In your name we pray. Amen. So as reading this passage, there's a few things that really stood out to me. And the first one was more of a question. You know, I never really thought about it too much. But one of the things as I was reading this passage was, did Moses stop wearing the veil at some point? I never thought of it before. It never came up. And so I did some reading, and actually people seem to be quite divided on whether at any point Moses stopped wearing the veil. There's, I would say it's about a 50-50 split from what I read, and obviously I didn't read exhaustively. You know, I just read a few different people on it. And some say that he wore the veil the rest of his life, and some say no. Some say the veil came off. He would stop wearing the veil as the glory came off of him. So like he would go up to the mountaintop, and then obviously he'd be filled with the presence of God when he would be talking to God. And when he'd come down, the glory would manifest. And then over time, the further he was away from the mountaintop, that glory, that light that shone in his face disappeared. The answer, I don't really know. But when I look at this passage, in many ways, I feel as if it's the second one. Right? Because it talks about, in the first couple verses, it says, the Israelites couldn't bear to gaze on the glowing face of Moses because of the radiant splendor shining from his countenance, a glory destined to fade away. But it could also just mean that when Moses passed away, there was no person that had that kind of encounter anymore that it would demonstrate. But it also leads to the fact that it would fade away because it would be replaced with a new covenant found in Jesus. That new covenant that would come with Jesus. And so we have this passage. And part of the context is some believe Paul is actually being told, you're too bold. You're speaking too much. And he's also a bit frustrated because his own people, the Israelites, are not believing in God, right? If you look at his track record, he has a much better rate, basically, at ministering to Gentiles. Ministering to the Jewish people, his own, it wasn't going that far. Right, and we've heard passages where a prophet is not welcome in his own hometown. And we do know sometimes it's harder to minister when you think about our families. If you come from a non-Christian family or even a Christian family, they might be harder actually. Christian families might be harder to minister to when they're going astray because they believe they have it right, right? And we know that can be more difficult. And so Paul here is a bit frustrated and he's explaining why he's allowed to be bold. He can be even more bold than Moses was. He's not hiding. He's not covering that veil. You know, another thing I was thinking about, and this is something I've been thinking about for a while, is this desire to have mountaintop experiences. This desire to have mountaintop experiences. You know, when we think about it, you know, as a staff and as any trips that we've gone to Israel as a church, we always go into Egypt and we go to the mountain in which this apparently took place. The reality is it probably didn't take place at that mountain. All right. There's enough scholarship on it that is probably not the mountain, and the bush that's there is most likely not the burning bush. But we have this desire to experience something from God. Right? And we want to have these grand experiences. And I think there's something to it that draws us. Like, we see this experience Moses had. We see the experience. He comes and he's changed and he's transformed. And it was on this mountaintop. Right? And every time he'd go up, he'd experience God. But that's not necessary in our life to have these big, grand experiences. We have the access to the Holy Spirit all the time. You know, and if you actually think about mountains from a different perspective, if you go up to a really high mountaintop, it's where no growth takes place. It's cold, it's windy, often snowy, but beautiful. But actually being up there, if you're on a true mountain, not just a hill, but a true mountain, it's actually quite a miserable experience. If you ever hiked up to the top of a mountain, but the beauty of what you see is grand. But what are you looking at when you're up on that mountain? You're looking out and you're looking down. And you're seeing everything that has happened. It's in the valleys that you have growth. It's in the valleys that you see the water and you see the flowers and you see the fields of grass. And so oftentimes I think as Christians, and this is not directly related to this passage, it's just something I've been thinking about, is we're racing for these, what we call mountaintop experiences, without reflecting on what God is doing in our life, where we're at, right? Even in those difficult times, do we see the growth that's happening in our life? Now going back to this passage, this always reminds me of my favorite part of the Good Friday story, the Good Friday event. And it goes back to the temple in the Holy of Holies. You know, Moses experienced God in this grand way, and we say face to face, but actually Moses saw face to back, right? God tucked him in the cave, tucked him in the crevice, so that when God passed him, the only thing that Moses would see is his back. And even God's back was such this glorious moment that it would allow his face to glow. And every time Moses would go back up, he would experience God as he's chiseling out the law, as he's talking with God. But then we have Moses passes away. No one else has these kind of experiences of that magnitude. But God's dwelling place becomes the holies of holies. Not his physical body, right? And once a year, someone would get to go in and they'd tie a rope. And if he passed away, they'd have to pull him out because they had to be clean. But there was a veil that separated God from his people. Right? God from his people. There wasn't an easy access to God because our sin was so prevalent. It still is. You know, and one of the things that someone wrote about this passage is that, you know, it talks about the old covenant leading to death. And it wasn't necessarily leading us to a physical death. That already took place before the old covenant took place. But the old covenant's main purpose was to reveal our sin so we could live God's way. Right? It would teach us the path to live, but it also would reveal on our hearts that sinfulness. Right? But it still couldn't lead us to freedom. That freedom that came in the new covenant of Jesus. And so when Jesus died on the cross and the veil was torn in two, there's this symbolic moment, not even just symbolic, but this representation of we now have direct access to God. We now have the ability to come boldly to the throne of God, to sit at his feet, to hear him. Not just the Jews, not just the Jewish high priest, not just those who had been perfectly clean ceremonially and then were able to, and then provided a sacrifice, but all who would believe in Jesus would receive the Holy Spirit, in which they would be able to boldly, all of us, come before God. And that veil was lifted. And here Paul is actually being very bold to say, I choose not to hide myself like Moses. That struck me. I am not veiling myself like Moses did. I'm not hiding. I am bold in my preaching and I'm not going to stop. Right? Moses hid himself. He veiled himself because the people were afraid. I mean, to be fair, if someone walked in and they were radiating a bright light after having a mountaintop experience, I think many of us would be like, what's going on? Right? We don't radiate in that same way that Moses literally radiated God's glory. But we as God's people can choose to be like Moses and hide God's glory, what he's doing. Or we can choose to be like Paul and be bold. Now, I'm not criticizing Moses in any way. Like, Moses is an amazing man of God, right? But Paul is trying to make this contrast because he's dealing with a people, the Jews, that were still so fixated on the old covenant. He was also most likely working with missionaries, other missionaries in that area who were pointing back to the old covenant, pointing back to Moses. And he was trying to contrast these two things to make it more apparent that, look, Jesus is the new covenant. We have the Holy Spirit now. We are all able to have that glory of God in us and through us and to be seen by us into the world. Right? And so he's trying to direct people to the new covenant, to Jesus, where he's also battling some other people who are in that area, refocusing people back to Moses and that covenant. And so I want to be careful that we don't look down on Moses in this passage. That's not what's happening. But Paul is really trying to point people back to the truth that is Jesus. And as children of God, we have the Holy Spirit. We have it. We have him in us. And we have choices we can make. You know, one of the things at the very end, it talks about this glory to glory, right? It says, we can draw close to him with the veil removed from our faces. With no veil, we all become like mirrors who brightly reflect the glory of the Lord Jesus. We are being transfigured into his very image as we move from one brighter level of glory to another. As Christians, as we mature, as we grow deeper, we should actually be moving to a deeper level of intimacy with God. We should be experiencing a deeper revelation of God. And I'm not talking about crazy experiences necessarily. I'm talking about that inner peace, that inner knowledge, that confidence. You know, Paul talks about hope in this passage. And we think about hope. You have the world's definition of hope, which actually I think we should change to wish. Things that we wish to happen but may not, right? But I was looking up something with Tim Keller, and it led me to one person's perspective on this. It was like Christianity hope are things we are certain of that God has promised that we are still waiting for. We can have hope in a resurrected body. We don't have it yet, but we know it's going to happen, right? We have hope of eternal life with God. It's not a wish. It's not a maybe. It's a confidence that this is going to take place, but yet we're still waiting for it. I mean, eternity with God starts now, but that revelation, that realization that comes in that afterlife, that comes in when we are in that resurrected body in the new heaven and earth, that is something that hasn't happened yet. Right? We're waiting for that time where there's no sin, no more pain, no more tears. Right? And we can hope for it because we have the confidence it's going to happen. And those are two different types of hope. Those are two different kinds of hope. You have the world's hope and you have Christian hope. And Christian hope is a confidence. And Paul is confident. Paul is confident, and so can you and I be confident. And so as Wesley comes up, I want us to really take a moment to ask God, why? Two things. Am I in an intimate relationship with you, God? In a place where I can grow, in a place where I can be transformed and molded and changed because of the Holy Spirit, because of what Jesus did? What's causing me not to have that intimate relationship? And the other one is, are you wearing a veil today, or is that veil removed? Do you demonstrate the glory of God where you go, or do you hide it away? You know, maybe there's some areas that you are very bold in sharing God's message with people. But maybe there's some areas, because we like to compartmentalize in our life. Maybe there's aspects that you are reserved, that you're not sharing, that you're not being bold enough. Allow God to show you why that is. And maybe it's just a moment. Maybe it's the person's eyes are veiled still. You know, our prayers can change that God removes the veil that's covering them from seeing the truth. So let's just spend some time worshiping God and allowing Him to speak to us this morning.
Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. The Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Showers of mercy.
God, that His Spirit brings us freedom. Yes, His Spirit also does reveal to us our sin, just like the Old Covenant did, the tablets did, the Law of Moses did. But so does the Spirit of God. But the revelation is to set us free. The revelation of the sin that we find in our hearts when God reveals it to us is not of condemnation, but of freedom. To be able to come to Him reconciled fully before Him. So let's just give thanks to God for this freedom that He has placed in our lives and our hearts. And as we also pray, let's also just spend a moment lifting up the Jewish people. This statement of them still being hardened, still focusing on Moses being veiled, is still true. As a people group, they are the hardest to reach in the world. Not individually, but as a people group. And so let's just pray for that veil to be lifted, for them to also walk in the freedom that the Spirit provides through Jesus. Our prayer focus for today. Let's pray for those going through cancer and chemo and radiation therapy and recovering from surgery. Let's just really pray that God will be with their doctors, their support systems, and just God will bring complete physical healing to their bodies. Lift up those who are sick but also need salvation. Let's pray that God will heal their bodies and also their eyes will be unveiled, that they'll be able to see Jesus, encounter the Holy Spirit, and be transformed. Thank you. lift up those who are suffering from other illnesses, infirmities. Let's just pray that God will bring healing into their lives. For those in our community looking for jobs, let's pray that God will just bring them to the right job at the right time, that they will truly understand what God as their provider means to them in this time of waiting. And let's just pray that God will use them in their new jobs. To our mission focus, and let's lift up SP Singapore, Spin and Spill. Let's lift up PCM Kim, P. Solomon, and P. Ernie as they lead their different congregations. Let's just pray that God will just bring such passion in their churches that they'll really be on fire for God, and give them wisdom as they lead, and just also protection for their families as they are doing ministry. Up our education ministry, SP Kids led by myself and Lisa, SP Youth by Donald, and SPU by P. Andrew. Let's just really pray for everyone involved, the volunteers, the kids, the families, the students. Let's just pray that God will direct and lead each of these ministries in a way that provide a way for kids to really, and students to have a solid foundation of faith that will last them in eternity. Lift up our prayer and healing teams, IP led by Matt, The Well by Sarah, and River by Rachel. Let's just really pray for them as they lead our church in prayer and in healing. Let's just pray that God will use these teams to really help bring about freedom into the lives of those they encounter. evening outreach, SP Lights and Homies. Let's really pray that as a church, we will really be, our hearts will be transformed into really thinking about those around us in this city, that more people will join the outreach team, but our whole lives will be about outreach. Let's lift up the leaders of SP Lights and Homie. Let's really pray that God will encourage them and give them wisdom on how to minister, not only to the people of Hong Kong, but to the people who they are leading. Up the house churches meeting tonight, East Bay, McRobinson, Olympic, Robin Hood, and Cullen West. Let's pray that God will really just lead their time, that they'll be able to just enter into deep discussion and laughter and just fun and just being able to encounter God as they eat together, as they talk, and they just encourage one another. Let's lift up a Hong Kong. Let's lift up our government. Let's pray that they will just make wise decisions. Let's also lift up just everyone in this city to be able to come to a place of healing and restoration. Let's also just pray that God will continue to stop COVID in Hong Kong. There's been less and less cases, but still some. And so let's just pray for protection for the doctors and everyone involved in battling COVID as well. Holy Spirit, we just thank you that you have removed the veil from our eyes. Lord, help us to continue to live a life unveiled, God, a life that mirrors Jesus, mirrors you, Lord. We just pray that you will use us to testify to your glory, that we will be bold. Lord, help us to really walk in that freedom of not only our salvation, but freedom to share the gospel message to those that we encounter daily, Lord, in our lives, and those who we just come upon throughout life. Lord, we just pray, Lord, that your Spirit will just continue to guide us today, shape us, and mold us to be more like you. In your name we pray, amen. Have a great rest of your prayer time, and we hope to see you here tomorrow.